We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Under Armour. Welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu. The Warriors beat the Washington Wizards 123-112. God, the Wizards suck. That's like my main take there. What, saw our old friend Jordan Poole?
Kind of the same.
Saw the GOAT, the legend, the point god, Chris Paul, come back, play an excellent game. I don't know, kind of a boring Tuesday night 4 p.m. game for the West Coast, but some interesting stuff happened at the same time. Warriors got a win, which honestly, they just need a stack wins.
That's all we care about. They won the game. They're three games up. They've got a roadie here that their next two games are winnable games. But there's stuff in this game tonight that matters moving forward. There's stuff for sure.
And I want to start with number 11.
All right.
Klay Thompson. Obviously, he moved to the bench 4 games ago. He's had a couple good bench performances. Tonight might have been his best one.
25 points off the bench. Back-to-back 20-point nights, 6 threes, back-to-back games in which he's hit at least 5 threes. Hey, Clay, I don't care what your role is. You're going to get your minutes, and your shot still looks pure. Tell me how you're adjusting to coming off the bench here, because it's looking good, man. Same old Clay to me.
Yeah. Honestly, Bonte, it's been a pretty seamless transition. I mean, it does have its benefits as far as letting the game settle, seeing the floor before you enter, and just relaxing. I mean, the nerves, especially when you start, can be apparent when it's a big night, but when you're coming off the bench, it's a little easier to relax, and I think that my game is showing that.
I mean,
interesting. It's interesting.
He nailed it. He looks relaxed, man. He looks like Klay Thompson, you know? Like the guy we saw the last 2 months before they went to the bench. It's a rough watch. I didn't enjoy getting on the pod and being critical of him. I didn't enjoy watching him sulk and hit his head down and just like, it sucks. He's one of the best players in franchise history. No one enjoyed that. New role coming off the bench. It's like, what was it, LaMelo Ball thing? New year, same me, new role. Now it feels like same Clay, you know? Like he just, he feels so much more comfortable here. And when he's comfortable, like, look, man, I know he's a step slower, but that shot, he can shoot the ball, right?
Yeah, Fitz is hilarious because he kept talking about how if Clay sets his feet and the ball is in a shooting pocket, that thing's going in every single time. It's when he fades, and I'm just like, yes, we get it. We get it, Fitz. You talk to Steve Kerr. We get it. That's something that they're trying to have him avoid doing. But, you know, it does – the comfortable stuff is super interesting to me because I feel like Clay – might be the most honest basketball player when talking about struggles, and he's not trying to sell us something. That's the thing about Clay. He's not everybody's trying to sell us something, man. LeBron's trying to sell me something. Draymond's trying to sell me something. Hell, Steph is trying to sell me something. All these dudes are trying to sell me something. Clay just comes out and he just
promo code Light Years.
Seriously. He just come out and they just, you know, whatever it is they're kind of sell, they're trying to sell. Everything's a PR push, everything's a rollout. And Clay's kind of just, you know, it's tough. And me coming off the bench. You know, there's not as much pressure. Jeez. So I don't know if that was his best game, but these are the games that I think show how deep this team is. I think,
yeah.
And no matter how deep his team is, he's still kind of the guy. Like, he's still kind of the guy that when he goes for 20 plus, you're more often than not going to win a game. And this team now going, what, 12 deep, Sam, tonight with Clay leading the charge. I mean, he was the main reason they came back there in the first quarter. Because let's not forget, for those that missed the game because they were working or whatever, the Warriors went down 10. Yeah,
sleepy
Warriors
start.
Yeah.
And it is like, you know, is he the second option? What is he? Like, I do know you watch Warrior game. He is the second most feared player on this team. The way the defense reacts to this team, Kuminga might be better. Wiggins might be better. Pods might be, like, all these guys may, you may think they're better players. They do not make a defense scramble the way Klay Thompson does. And even if he's not in that phase of his career where he's an all-star getting you 25 a night, there's still so much value in just, hey, dudes are terrified of Klay because they know what he can do with the ball in his hands. They know what he can do when he shoots the ball. And I don't know. You watch the rest of the Warriors, there's just a limited amount of guys who can do that. So if this is what gets him comfortable and gets him playing a little freer, like, that benefits the team big time.
I think it balances the team too. I think today's starting lineup didn't really work that way. A part of it just Steph sucking. But I think it balances the team where Klay going up against bench units is just going to be money every single time, every single game. Now you insert Chris Paul, who we'll get to. He's going to get him all the correct looks. So he's more often not going to be successful. I think the question becomes, like, you know, how do you close with him? Stuff like that. But games like this tonight when he's going up against, I'm going to look at this box score because I had no idea what this guy's name was. Omorui, who played 7 minutes. Jared Butler. What is this? Johnny, what is this stuff?
I didn't even know they still had John Davis.
He played 8 minutes. Like, what is this, right? Just when you get to throw Klay against those guys, I mean, it is like he's in his prime going up against Nick Stauskas when he dropped 37 in a quarter. Yeah. So.
Okay. So, you know, Klay got going, and I feel like the two other stories of the game we really want to get to are Steph and Chris Paul. Steph, another subpar game. Steve said he was fatigued last game. Are you worried about Steph? Like, do you think he's fatigued, or do you think it's just kind of like, man, it's a long season and they have so much of him and he's going to have a few stinkers shooting the ball.
Yeah, right. That's how it goes. The latter, right? I do think one thing, if I were to concern Troy a little bit, because I know you're going to love this. I do think Steph's regular season game is predicated on just shooting threes now. A lot of it is just shooting threes. I think part of it is he's older, obviously. Part of it is he's tired. Part of it, I think he's just slower and he just doesn't want to bang bodies, man. It's a Tuesday night in Washington. They just played two nights ago. They had to fly halfway across the damn country. I just think he's like, I'm just going to shoot threes. I don't want to drive to the hole and draw fouls. I don't want to get hit. What's the point? And so I just think his game's super reliant on that now, especially in the regular season. I'm sure when they go and play the Lakers in a
Boston Celtics this weekend.
Yeah. Sure. Like, he's going to be, okay, I'm going to get to the hole. I'm going to draw. Like, I'm going to do what I need to do to win the game. But against Washington, he's like, why would I? What's the point? And so he just comes out. He's tired. He bricks a couple ones. He goes and sits down. Right after 8 minutes, he does a little passive thing. Then he comes back, same thing. And all of a sudden, the team doesn't really need him to score like they waited today. And then you end up just going 6 for 21. I mean, dude, he shot 16 threes. He's
16 of his 21 shots, which means, yeah, to your point, one, it means the Wizards just don't even get their hand up. Two, also it means, like, he's, to your point, I agree with you. I'm not concerned about, you know, getting to the rim this game. I'll save that for the better teams. I'll save that for Thursday night MSG when the lights are on, you know? Yeah, no, I agree with you. Okay.
He's played 53 games this season. How many games are left this season? If he plays every single game,
he's played 53 out of 55.
Wow.
That's what you know. He's going to play 75 plus games. Can take that. He's leading the team minutes. All this bang up team building, guys. Bang up,
you know? Anyway. Yeah, right. I mean, to the funniest part is they do have a really deep team. That's the funny. And now they've got a guy that, that but can take those minutes, but
very little of it works without Steph. Yes. So, yeah. But they did get back my guy, the point guard, Chris
Paul.
Let's
go.
We've been playing pretty well over the last month or so, and I've really been looking forward to getting Chris back. You can see why tonight. He's a plus 17 in, you know, 21 minutes. Always in control of the game. I thought the way we closed the third quarter was really important. You know, he was at the helm. He found JK for a lob, and you know, we got a stop, got the last shot of the quarter. So we just handle things better with Chris. He's such a great point guard, always knows exactly what's happening in the game and what's needed from him. So it's great to have him back.
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder, so perfect game for him to come back against, you know, the grudge match against the Wizards who traded him, even though he was there for 3 days. You know, it's perfect, like, soft landing for him to start one of the worst teams in the league. But he does present an opportunity to potentially limit the wear and tear on Steph, which is important. That was kind of the idea behind the signing. If we were going to be rose-colored glasses about it, like, maybe he helps Steph play less minutes. You can trust him to just kind of generate wins with a second unit. Steph isn't having to carry the load as much as he needs to, obviously missing that much time. That doesn't happen. But maybe that's a good way to get Steph going, because Chris Paul's nothing if he ain't a smart basketball player who knows how to run a pick and roll and get guys.
He's a freaking genius. I mean, dude, games like tonight, if they didn't have Chris Paul tonight, honestly, I don't, like, maybe they still win. Probably they still win. But they're not going up 20.
It's a stressful game, though.
It's a way more stressful game. And look, I'm the biggest Chris Paul hater. You guys know I'm the biggest Chris Paul hater. But, like, these are the type of games where it's just like, if they had just started the season like this, would they just not win 48 to 50 games easy? I mean, it just Chris Paul comes off the bench. He plays 20 minutes. He doesn't close because he's not a closer. But you put him and Pods, who don't turn the ball over. You put him next to Clay, Dario. He makes Dario better because it's Chris Paul. They put him next to TJD, who had an alley-oop dunk on him. And all of a sudden, you're crushing other bench units, and then you have a decent starting lineup if Wiggins comes back at some point. Kuminga plays well. And it's just like, you're going to run over mediocre to shitty teams. It's a good formula. They just had to rely on him to play 30 minutes at the beginning of the season, right? That's why they were losing games. Because
Draymond was suspended.
Terrible. Clay was on and off.
We sound like Fitz, man.
It's just games. You watch this and you're just, and GP2 was hurt for damn near half the season. It's just like, this is the vision. I don't know what their ceiling is, but they certainly shouldn't be a 10 seed, right? Like, is this the type of stuff where you look back on this? It's like, I don't think they could win a championship, but they should at least be the 5 seed. It should have been at least a 5 seed.
It's a 50-win team. Yeah, that's
exactly. Exactly.
You know, if Draymond's not doing weird, wannabe like Grand Theft Auto stuff on the court, and then, you know, Chris Paul's gonna break his hands, and just, I don't even know what's going on with it. But I just saw an ad. I kind of want to play Grand Theft Auto again.
Is that still a game?
Of course it is. It is. But like, that's probably the last video game I played, like when that was still a thing. And then I pretty much checked out on video games.
Yeah. You and I are very similar. I don't. And NHL Hits, I think, is the last game I played.
That's a good one. I was more of an NFL Blitz guy.
NFL Blitz is good. Play that too.
Yeah.
NBA Street.
Yes. Yes.
High school. Yeah.
And then FIFA. FIFA is a classic. The FIFA battles. But yeah, anyway, back to topic. I would have liked to see more Trace, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
There was a couple pick and rolls with Trace and Chris Paul. Shocker. They went well. The Wizards can't guard.
Simple.
Trace is, you know, he's the perfect pick and roll man. Like, that's what he's best at, right? And Chris Paul obviously knows how to run a pick and roll, not turn the ball over, get it to your big while he's rolling. I'd like to see a little more of that. Steve just doing his young guy thing with Trace in general. So
isn't Trace like 28? No, I get you.
24 a couple weeks. Yeah, no, but like the point stands. Yeah.
Today's Light Years podcast, we are brought to you by Good Chop. Everyone wants to start their year off on the right foot. And for me, that means making sure I'm eating well and have enough energy to do everything I want to do. But I'm not going to run to the butcher every day to get a fresh cut of quality meat. That's just not going to happen this time of the year. We're just too busy. We got too much stuff going on, man. We got Warriors games every other day. That's why Good Chop is such a lifesaver for me. Good Chop offers fully customizable boxes of high-quality meat and seafood delivered to your door on your schedule. The products are vacuum-sealed and frozen at peak freshness so that you can stock your freezer and cook when you want. Choose from over 70 high-quality cuts, 100% grass-fed ribeyes, USDA prime filet, mignon, free-range, and organic chicken breasts. So this is the one that I actually get because chicken's healthy for me. Chicken's easy to cook for me. I air fry it. This is great because, you know, sometimes if you get bad meat, you put it in the freezer.
The air fryer, huh? We're going to have to talk air fryer.
I am an air fryer. Look, I'm a bad cook. This is why Good Chop is good for me, right? Like, it's good meat. It's high quality. I get it. I don't got to worry about, like, doing all this stuff to the meat to make it, like, whatever, right? I don't got to worry about that. It just comes ready to roll.
Yeah, I got a toddler. I'm like, I need efficiency. I need this to move through fast. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners feel the same way. It's like, I don't have 4 hours to meticulously marinate and get everything going. I'm trying to get this prepped and I want to taste good.
It's all we care about. And actually, you know what? This is the best part. It won't cost a fortune. Good Chop's price per meal starts at just $3.74. So go to goodchop.com/lightyears120. Use code lightyears120 to get $120 off across your first four boxes. That's code at lightyears120 at goodchop.com/lightyears120 for $120 off. Good Chop. .com/lightyears120 code lightyears120.
We got another game on Thursday. Warriors going to MSG, which is always special. You know, a month ago I would have been, I don't even know if I'd be hyped for them to play the Knicks because the Knicks were playing so well. Knicks are a little banged up this week. No OG, no Julius Randle. They did drop tonight's game to the Pelicans. And that is why, to me, this is our Under Armour game of the week because you got multiple storylines going into it. You know, the Knicks are a good team, so you don't expect to win against them on the road, but they're a little banged up and the Warriors need these wins. Probably not going to win in Boston, but you have a chance to win in New York against a better team because you're catching them at the right time. And then secondarily, like, do we need to get into the history of Steph Curry and MSG? This feels like the perfect opportunity for him to get back on track. Obviously, 54 in 2013, kind of his coming out party. But I kind of forgot he set the record for all-time threes at Madison Square Garden. Yep. It is a historic arena. You know it means something to Steph. The comments are saying a 3-1 road trip would be great. This is the game that's going to determine if it's a 3-1 road trip as far as I'm concerned.
That's a great – I mean, absolutely – correct. I think one thing to also throw out there, speaking of Under Armour game of the week, is that, you know, you want to see Steph get back on track too. You kind of hinted at it. He's been bad. I mean, he's not shot well for a couple games now. And you know him. I mean, he was literally coming off a hot streak where he made eight games in a row where he made 7+3. Absurd. Mm-hmm. And of course, he goes a little cold. And MSG is kind of probably the place that brings him back. It's a must-win game for the Warriors. It's the pivot game where I think we've seen the Warriors lose these type of games a lot on the road. Like, they're still a good team. They're still going to be good. Jalen Brunson didn't play tonight, but
they're not a walkover team.
DiVincenzo is going to make 6 threes, right? Just because revenge game. Josh Hart's going to grab 6 offensive rebounds because he's Josh Hart. Precious Achiuwa is playing 45 minutes a game because it's Tom Thibodeau. Like, he's going to be a dog in there. So it's like, it's not going to be an easy win. Tonight was a joke. The Wizards are a joke. Like, the Knicks are not, they're not rolling over for you.
And I will say this, I pulled up the standings here. Yeah, the Warriors are three and a half games back of the sixth seed. Obviously, it's going to be an uphill fight because there's a lot of good teams in front of them. There's the Mavericks, there's the Kings, Pelicans, Suns. So they're all good teams. If you want to get out of the play-in, these are the games you have to win. It's assumed you're going to beat the Wizards. It's assumed you're going to beat the Toronto Raptors on Friday. And, you know, Sunday at the Boston Garden, all right, that's a schedule loss, right? These games, which I might call 50-50 games, maybe New York's favored, but they're a little banged up. You start winning a few of these, that's how you put yourself in that, I might get out of the play-in range. I might get out of the play-in range. And so that's why it's the Under Armour game of the week is the most important game the Warriors are playing this week. I kind of think Steph's gonna snap out of his slump. That's where I'm at with it. I think MSG means something to him. I think he's shooting the ball poorly. I also look, Steph's our favorite player. How many Steph Curry games do you think you've watched?
Do you think you watched 1,000?
Wow. Yes. Yes, absolutely. How many games have he played in his career? I think I've watched every Steph game. If not live, I've
He's technically not. Well, no, he's played over 1,000 if you count the playoffs.
Of course, playoffs. Yeah.
He has played as a Golden State Warrior, so we're not counting international games, although I didn't miss those either. Just to be clear, guys, we didn't miss those either. 935 plus 147. It's about 1,100 games.
Wow. We've watched 1,000 plus Steph Curry games.
He does have it in him to kind of like go through the motions and just chuck against a team like the Wizards if he's not feeling like getting into it a little bit. Yeah. I don't think we're getting that. I think the celebs will be out Thursday night in New York.
He's going to have dinner with KD after. It's going to be a vibe, right? It's going to be awesome.
What celebs are going to be? Ben Stiller courtside?
Lately I've noticed there's been, you know, some more actors at Chase, you know, because usually we just get the DoorDash CEO.
I'm talking about Madison Square Garden.
I know. I'm saying like lately we've seen more Madison Square Garden type people at Chase.
Because
Madison Square, they got the best. But although MSG, I saw a video the other week.
Well, nothing tops Laker games in terms of people who want to be seen. Yeah. You know, they're not there to watch the game. They're there to be seen.
I saw a lot of TikTok artists on the MSG, or like these new actors that I didn't know who they are, Sam. That's how I know I'm getting old. So do you think Steph is like sitting there and they're just like, they see all these like,
you think Raymond Ritter introduces him to someone and he's like, I don't know who this is, but I'm going to fake smile and be like, I love your stuff.
It's got 2.8 million followers. Like, I don't know who this fucking guy is.
Yeah, he just does the thing when you meet someone or just lying. He's just like, yeah, I love your movies. I love
the fake dad.
I love your TikToks. Anyway, the other story I wanted to get to tonight was Andrew Wiggins was mysteriously out of lineup tonight.
Okay, all right.
Moses Moody started, which is good. We're a pro Moses Moody podcast. I thought Moses played okay. They played it good. But Wiggins out, and I don't know if you saw Steve Kerr pregame. He kind of touched on it too. Didn't give me confidence when I heard Steve Kerr pregame. Not going to lie. Did not make me feel good. Where he's talking about it. It's a personal matter. I don't know when he'll be back. I will talk about it when we talk about it. Which was not the thing I wanted to hear, given the context of Andrew Wiggins last year. And I don't know, you know, for all I know, he could be back at MSG on Thursday and we'll laugh about it and be like, man, we really concern trolled that segment. But because I don't know, I'm going to have to go with that.
Andrew's out for personal reasons. I mean, do you have any sense of if this is a just, you know, quick thing or?
Don't know. We'll, you know, just respect, obviously, respect Andrew's wishes for this to remain private and personal reasons, and we'll just we'll go from there. We'll start Moses tonight in his spot. Moses has been fantastic as always, just staying ready, putting in the work, producing when called upon, and so this is a good opportunity for him. I think he's earned this, and it allows us to keep our bench unit intact. You know, Chris will play in the, you know, minutes that Lester's been playing, so they'll, you know, all the non-Steph minutes, and then he'll probably be out there with Steph a little bit as well. So we're approaching it tonight, you know, just trying to you know, make the shift with Wiggs out, and but I didn't want too many changes, so it felt good to start Moses and keep the bench unit intact.
So yeah, I mean, two things to talk about. One is Moses Moody got more minutes tonight. We could talk about Moses and talk basketball. Second is it would be a lie for me to not say I'm nervous given the context of last year. And I want to know where your head's at it with it. You know, like maybe I'm neurotic. It's possible, you know, like I'm not willing to admit that, like, I might just be a little too neurotic about this sort of thing, but like just seeing this, it reminds me so much of last year. And I don't know what to think at this point. You know, no other player on this roster disappears and can't just like give a reason for why they disappear.
I don't know what is going on. Yeah, to me it feels like they're not making a big deal out of it. Like they're not even talking about it at all, which, you know, I'm sure that's part of the plan. I'd imagine it's probably not the same as last year because I think
I hope so.
Actually, I don't even know if I have a take. Andrew Wiggins, I hope you're good, sir. I hope you're good. I honestly don't have a take outside of sounding like an asshole.
Are you worried?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm worried. Yeah, because who just goes out and just like, I guess Steve Kerr said he said it right. We just listened to him. He said kind of similar to last year. Like, we just hope he's good. So I was like, I don't know, man. Fuck. Because he's good. But how am I supposed to like be sensitive or feel bad for a guy when we don't know what's going on? So it's like, I don't know. I don't feel bad for the guy. I don't know what the hell's going on. Y'all not going to tell me. So I'm not going to feel bad for the guy. So show up or don't fucking show up.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm not even, let's avoid wading into those waters just yet. I'm just kind of like, my gut instinct is here we go again. That's my gut instinct. And my reason for saying here we go again is he's given me no reason to not believe that here we go again, right? That's kind of my thing with it, which is, you know, if Klay Thompson asked for a day for personal reasons, I think you and I would just be like, all right, whatever, it's Klay, you know, because he has so much credibility built up in my mind, right? In this case, it was weird last year, and we all know that they didn't think he was going to disappear for 2 months. So I don't know what to think. I don't know. It's a little bit of a concern troll, but I think at its core, I don't think it's unreasonable for you and me to be like, I don't know what I think. I don't know what I think right now. You know,
the Warriors weren't too happy last year. So I think that's kind mm-hmm. of all I kind of need to know is they weren't too happy about it by the time he came back. And there's a reason why he played through that rib injury when honestly he probably shouldn't have. So I don't know. They didn't come back and say, oh, yay. It's like, hey, man, where the fuck were you?
Anyway, yeah. No, I mean, it's true. I'm going to give it if he's back Thursday, we'll laugh about being concerned. Like, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to be concerned, but like, we'll laugh about it, you know? And hopefully that's the case. But anyway, Moses got to start today, which I thought was cool on multiple levels. One, it means that they're committed to Klay coming off the bench, which I like. I like, just make him comfortable, make him own the role. Two, Moses Moody deserves more minutes, man. He just does. I don't know. What'd you think of his game in general?
I love me Moses Moody. So let's actually spend a little time on this one, because people's arguments are very clear, Sam. One way is that what minutes are Moses Moody going to take? Right? Mm-hmm. That's everybody's argument back. And I always go, well, you can take minutes pretty easily from guys. It's just a matter of, are you actually going to do it? Because he could play more minutes for guys that shouldn't. Why do you play four guards? Why is Dario Saric playing 14 minutes? Right? Why does Lester Quinones play those minutes? And you're saying like, oh, he plays good defense. It's like, no, does he play great defense? He handles the ball more. Do they need him to handle the ball more? Like, do you need three guys that can handle the ball? You know, right? Like, maybe that's apparently an indication of your offense that you need so many guys to handle the ball when Moses Moody does so many things well. Now, is he elite at certain things? No, but neither are these guys that you're that are playing above him, right? And so my thing is always, you find a way for guys that, if he's a guy that played 20 plus minutes last year in a postseason series, you find a way. Because I tell you what, you're not a team that's winning 55 games. So you're not good enough to sit this kid. And, you know, I thought he played good tonight, right? Like he's not a special player. He's just a very good player. That's the majority of these Warriors players are that they are just very good players. GP2, yeah. Very good player. Moses Moody, very good player. Chris Paul, very good player. None of these guys are superstars. That does make Steve Kerr's job hard, is that like he kind of does have to pick the right guys to play every game, and it is hard, but you know, at the same time, I'm looking at minutes right now. I'm looking at Saric for 14 minutes. I'm looking at Pods who play like, some of these, like, there are minutes there, just
Hey, Pods didn't play enough minutes as far as
plus 14 tonight.
Pods might be the anyway. Yeah. No, I mean, there's minutes to be had there. Look, if I was to guess, Steve Kerr views him as a pure wing, and he's viewing it as like, I have Clay, I have Wiggins, and I have Kuminga, and GP2. These are guys I want running the, like, basically not handling the ball. It's a polite way to put it, right? And he kind of gets the short end of the stick, right? Like, he just, like, he can't shoot it like Clay. He can't defend like GP2. He's not as all-around versatile as Wiggins or Kuminga in some ways. So he just kind of always the odd man out in that mix. I don't know that it should be that way. I kind of agree with you. The only team in the league who can't find ways to use wings who can shoot and defend a little bit. But
it's a tricky situation for him when I think you're – Steve Kerr's just not going to change ideals, right? So we're kind of just arguing against the wall, really, is what it is. We're arguing against the wall. Like, he's not going to play – like, let's say – put this for example. Like, Steph, Draymond, then you get Kuminga, Wiggins, and Moody. Like, those are three wing guys that you'd have a pretty decent defense, and you can rebound a little bit, but it's just not going to go with that because he just doesn't want to play with two guys that can handle the ball. And you can argue maybe that's possible, but they're just not going to do that. That's why Pod starts. And so that's why they go with four guards. That's why half this roster is guards, right? So they're just, the lack of balance there doesn't really work. And I think that hurts Moses Moody, because would you say that how many teams in the NBA could he play 15 to 20 minutes for?
Right, 25, now? 30. 25. I mean, I think he'd play. Yeah, wow. I think he'd play 15 minutes per game for the Denver Nuggets, to be honest with you. And they're I think it's Denver's title to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
They're the best all around team when they lock in. Like, that was what kind of was disheartening about the last game, where I'm like, damn, that's what it's like to be on the other side of that, you know, like, cause that felt like some Warrior shit where they're like, this is cute. Good job. All right, we're going to take it to another level and you cannot match it, right? Yep. Anyway, different conversation. I think they could use him because his skill sets are complementary to everyone, right? They're okay. I play off ball. I hit shots. I will defend hard. I will crash the glass. I will get rebounds. I'll do a little bit of everything. I'm kind of a jack of all, master of none, right? Like, but you can't tell me. I'm looking at the Nuggets rotation now. Christian Braun, probably a little better than him. I don't know. They're
Zeke
playing guys.
Like, I mean, like,
right. Yeah. Who's like, exactly. Like, they don't really have a deep rotation. Justin Holiday kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Julian Strother, I kind of like him in 2 years, you know, like, and that's probably the best team in the league right now.
Well, like,
you know,
the Boston Celtics, is he a better player than Sam Hauser, who plays 20 minutes a game?
Yeah. Why could they not use him off the bench? Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, it kind of speaks to the Warriors' point where they're deceptively deep with good players, but the high end is not as good as it used to be, where it's like, you know, Steph and Draymond, but like Kuminga's still figuring it out, even though he's been playing phenomenal. And like the Wizards are, let's talk Kuminga for a second. Like, the Wizards are the type of team where I'm like, yeah, dude, you should own them because you're that good. And he does own them. He's that dominant against him. And then you see him against Denver, and it's like, all right, there's work to be done for you to get to that level. But like, ultimately, I love seeing him just own these type of matchups and just remind everyone, it's like, Kyle Kuzma's not that much better. It, like, I can play with this type of player.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've seen it. I think part of this team, when they transitioned back to Steph and Draymond heavy offense, I do think Kuminga it's hard for him to figure out like what exactly he needs to do, because he's not an innate fill in the pieces role scoring type of guy, right? I think he innately is a, hey, work through me offensively, let me get the rock, let me kind of iso, let me post up, let me do a drive here and a drive there. He's not I'm a cut to the rim. Like, he's less so that guy, and figuring out how to play next to Draymond and Steph. I think more often than not, it's kind of been why he's been benched, is he doesn't know how to do that. But I think he is figuring it out a lot better now, because I think he's a tweener, where I don't know if he's ever going to be like that guy where you can give him the ball every time. But he is figuring out, how about me being the second and third option? How about me,
I can get a post up ISO mid range, which he made a few. I can get to the hole, but I can also cut and also screen and play more like the Warrior style. They need him to be, I think, who he is innately. But I think for the team to be best, they need him to be both. They need Kuminga to play the ISO style. They need him to play the Warrior style. And I think that's where I think should probably give him more credit, because he is He is young and he's trying to figure that stuff out. And I think many other players in the NBA have to figure that stuff out. Most players in the NBA can just play that fucking ISO style and fail at that or figure it out, right? Like fail meaning like Andrew Wiggins failed in Minnesota, or like Aaron Gordon failed in Orlando, or like Jalen Green, something that was drafted for him, is currently failing in Houston. Actually, I shouldn't put those three together because those other.
But I hear what you're saying. Like Andrew Wiggins is actually a great example of talented guy, went to a team, had to play through it to figure out who he really was, you know, like that's really what you're talking about. It's like Kuminga didn't get the, I'm on a bad team and I get to experiment to figure out what I do and what I don't do. You know,
Jordan Poole even got it right. Jordan Poole got a year of it.
Mm-hmm. I will say the thing that excites me most about Kuminga is his passing. I'm not saying he's going to be Steve Nash or anything, but like his ability to leverage his physical advantage and make a read is something that the wings the Warriors have had over the years can't do. Klay doesn't really do that. Wiggins doesn't really do that. Kelly Oubre never did that. God, okay, you know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like he's kind of like a drive and kick athletic wing. And that's something they haven't had. Like, obviously we know he can put the ball in the hole when he's going to the rim, but making that second read when the help comes, kicking to corners, that's the kind of player they haven't had in a long time. 5 assists tonight. He's capable of being a better passer than like the Jaylen Brown type of wing. And like, honestly, if he becomes a player who's like Jaylen Brown or Pascal Siakam, like that's a huge win. And that's kind of who I think he will be over time.
Wow. So, that's who the Warriors have been missing. I was thinking about this earlier today, actually. So I'm glad you brought it up. They are missing the wing passer, wing decision maker.
Right.
And it's not really it's not Kuminga's fault, because he does so many things better than like an Otto Porter or an Andre Iguodala. But those are the guys that make the Warriors work, which is why the Warriors are starting Pajemski, because Pajemski does all those things that Otto Porter and Andre does. The problem with Paz is he's freaking 6 inches shorter than those guys, 7 inches shorter than those guys. So it just makes it hard at the Warriors to play this type of style. So they're trying to fuse all this stuff together. And you talked about in the last show, it's like, well, you got Kuminga and Wiggins as your wings, but it's hard when those guys aren't. And then Klay, it's three guys that don't really dribble, right? So, but
you need, Kuminga's someone who you can trust. Yeah, you need someone you can trust with the ball to make a basic read with the ball.
It's hard, man. It's hard, especially against great teams. Draymond made the wrong read every time in crunch time against Jokic. I mean, that stuff is hard to make those reads. And we've seen Draymond make the right read for a long, long time. So I don't know if that's fair. I wouldn't put the pressure on that to Kuminga. But I think if he can get there, though, we're talking the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, that's someone.
Yeah.
That's if he can make those
get that playmaking. In the perfect world for the Warriors, they get Wiggins shooting like he did 2 years ago, or they replace him with a two-way wing who can shoot like he did 2 years ago, next to Kuminga, who's more of a downhill player, and his passing will just continue to improve. But we'll see. I don't know. It's all positive. I feel like we should just end it at that. All right. On to New York. See you all. We will be back here. Appreciate everyone.
Thursday night.
If you want to run 10K with Andy and me, promo code LightYears. We'll be there.